Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. We have one guest in the studio and another one's going to call in. Unbeknownst to our fabulous producer, the most critical information of the day was not passed on. So I hate communication. That's why I got into radio. Good morning, everybody. Welcome aboard,
sometimes,
sir.
Sometimes you do lack those skills.
Yeah, other than the talking part, things went pretty well today. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. You can call us 1-800-795-9565. We're going to have a guest on the line shortly, but we would invite you to call during this time as well. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. For Text Connect members, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. In the studio with us now, Dr. Chris Ellis is back. He's an associate professor of political science at Bucknell University. He's in on the upcoming series of speeches and discussions that are part of the Bucknell Program for American Leadership and Citizenship. And this is an important discussion. So he's going to be on the line, or he's here. So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Move just an inch closer to that mic, if you would, or move it closer to you, either way. And this is an important topic because we had this at Susquehanna University a couple of years ago where a speaker was here and people were protesting and the cops were there to make sure everybody behaved. And even this year, because of your series to talk about this, we're hearing that there's a discussion on social media anyway about whether you want Dr. Bray to come to the school. Some people say, well, he's an Antifa advocate. So,
well, who is Dr. Bray? Maybe we ought to explain that first.
Well, we'll let him do it. I don't even know. Dr. Mark Bray, you're not familiar with this?
So this was, from what I know, this was a speaker that was brought in by our Humanities Center. He's a guy who teaches a little bit at Dartmouth, but has also sort of, you know, in kind of subtle ways, condoned the activities of Antifa as a way to resist kind of government power. And so there was some question about whether he should be allowed on campus and whether students might need more information about what he's doing before he showed up.
All right, but that is, in a nutshell, really at the heart of what we're talking about today. And do college campuses want to have all free speech of every type from anybody? So that's Lawrence's worthless introduction. What's really going on? Give me the real introduction.
Sure. So we're part of a group on campus that's sponsoring a series of events sort of looking at things like free speech and due process and civil liberties on college campuses, because we hear the sort of, you know, the crazy stories of things that happen at Berkeley when provocateurs come and speak and things like that, but really wanted to dig a little bit deeper to try to understand, okay, what's the climate? What are universities doing, not just to allow certain speakers or disallow certain speakers, but to provide students an opportunity to learn and think and grow in ways that might help them in the real world, right? And so there's a discussion about whether colleges are actually doing that. You know, on the right, we think they're liberal indoctrination of students. On the left, we think that colleges are just sort of pushing people into jobs and don't really care. So let's try to take a look at this, right? Let's try to understand what's actually happening. And if we do think there's a problem, how do we fix it?
Well, Dr. Ellis, you are on the forefront of that. You teach political science. What would you think a college should do? If you could be the determiner, what would you determine?
They don't let me do that, but if I could, I mean, this is the place where you're supposed to be challenged and grow, right? And you know, we're dealing with 18, 19-year-olds, so it's not the real world yet, and there's going to be rules there that there isn't, you know, if you go to your first job or you go to your suburb or whatever. But at the same time, the idea is we want students to, or at least I want students to challenge themselves, right? To see people that think differently than they are and learn to either defend their own arguments or modify their own arguments, right? Let's talk and let's debate these issues, which are really controversial and really sensitive. And let's learn from each other and let's get smarter in the process, right? That's what I think we should be doing.
Well, from the students you've seen, do they fit that mode or do they want to not hear the dissenting opinions?
So at Bucknell, I think we're really lucky that most of the vast majority of the students fit the mold. And I think nationally, the vast majority of students want to do that. They come to college expecting to be challenged, to party too, but they come to college expecting to be challenged to sort of learn and these kinds of things. But there is sort of a growing minority that I think is encouraged by at least some subset of people that work at colleges to sort of push back against that and say that colleges really aren't about the search for truth, but they're really about things like, you know, let's teach people to be social activists in a particular direction, or let's teach people to learn a certain conception of what justice is. And so that's my concern, right, that we're sort of moving away, at least in some ways, from this model of, hey, you know what, we really should be challenged and learn, and this should be uncomfortable, to a model of where we should be safe and sort of push people in one direction.
All right. Well, we also have on the line Tristan Riley is on the line. Dr. Alexander Riley is his full name. If you look on his business card at Bucknell or outside his door on campus. Dr. Riley, thank you so much for calling in this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks, Mark, for having Chris and myself on the show today.
And you've brought to our microphones and to our radio a number of remarks about important speakers that have been on the campus of Bucknell University. Give us a real glimpse about the upcoming series of speakers that will be talking about this idea, you know, how much free speech do we want to support?
Well, yeah, Chris has given us a good overview of the central theme that we're trying to get at in this series, which is just this big question that has emerged over the last couple of decades in universities and colleges about the potential problems that are associated with the political skew of, especially of faculties, but I think as Chris was talking about the work that Sam Abrams has done, this is something that affects some other segments of the university as well. In fact, there's even some data that shows that college students themselves have shifted a bit in their politics over the last 30 or 40 years, typically, in the same leftward direction. So we're just really trying to both to demonstrate and talk about the issue and the problem. So we've got some speakers coming in who are just going to look at how, for example, some disciplines and some sub-disciplines within academic disciplines have become more politicized, and they've started to basically become echo chambers of a certain variety, where the people who work in those fields produce results that align with a particular kind of political view, and then most of the other folks in the field produce similar stuff, and the research continues to get skewed in particular directions by the skew of the people that work in those fields. But then we also want to have some folks like Sam Abrams, who are, I think we might say they're kind of on the front lines of this theme and this issue in university. So Sam Abrams has this story where he basically just writes an op-ed reporting some pretty anodyne facts about the makeup of people who work in university and college administrations. And the result is, rather than folks carefully looking at his results and if they disagree with them, getting into the data and talking about having a civil discussion about it, and the result instead was some groups on his campus asking to have his tenure revoked, and some folks even making serious physical threats against him. And so that became a case among a number of other cases that just illustrated the significance of this issue, this problem that we want to look at. So we've got a range of speakers again who are going to be looking at this thing from a number of different directions, and we're hopeful that folks will come out and with an open mind and show some interest in just digging into this problem and thinking about how we might think about it, how we might address some of its ramifications.
Well, Dr. Riley, you mentioned, I'm sorry, I'm Joe McGranahan. I don't know whether you know I was going to be on the program or not. I have one question for you. You mentioned that the kids' political views have changed over the last decade or two decades. Has that been something that they came to college with, or is that a mindset that changed after they were exposed to college and the professors they dealt with? I mean, basically, I'm asking, are they more liberal now because of what came from their homes or what they've learned in school?
Well, I think there's some evidence that, especially at the level of higher education, there are some effects of the kind of skew that folks like Sam Abrams are indicating in the makeup of university faculties and of administrations. And there's an effect on how it is that just the general level or the general content of ideas and range of ideas that students are exposed to. And at some straightforward level, I think we can probably expect that if students are coming in X, Y, or Z condition, and they're being presented, especially in certain fields in the humanities and the social sciences, if they're being presented with a certain fairly delimited range of ideas and a sense of what are the relevant and legitimate set of positions that I can choose from, that's going to have some kind of effect on how they view the world, how they think about things. There's a sociologist named Neil Gross who's written a book on the topic of the political skew of professors, and he tries to take kind of a nuanced, in my view, maybe too nuanced a view on how the effects are actually filtering down to students. But he certainly acknowledges some of the central points that I think a lot of folks who have a more critical perspective on this acknowledge, which is that when you get a whole bunch of people together in an institution like a university on a college faculty, and when they tend to skew politically in a particular direction, that tends to affect the kind of work that you can expect them to do, the kind of teaching that you can expect them to do, at least in some subtle ways. And then that has cascading effects in terms of a kind of, I think, what we might reasonably call groupthink. That is, as you get more and more people in particular disciplinary frameworks who share a core set of beliefs and ideas and standards as to what are the legitimate questions that we can ask and so forth, the result is often that it just becomes easier to you don't even have to actively exclude particular ideas or perspectives. They just begin to seem irrelevant. They just begin to seem things that don't need to be considered. And so as students are experiencing that, I can certainly speak very directly about some of the things that I've seen anecdotally within my own discipline of sociology, the way in which that field has moved in a very clearly leftward direction, even over the 25 years that I've been professionally working in the discipline. These kinds of things, they're going to tend to have effects on students, however pronounced or subtle the effects are.
All right, well, let's ask Dr. Ellis the same question. Are liberal students coming to Bucknell, or are students coming to Bucknell and becoming liberal?
I think it's a little bit of both. They do change while they're there. Now, maybe it's because they're opening their minds, and maybe it's because they're getting perspectives that are different, and we do draw from a student base that is, very rich and very white, and so there is part of that. But there is this concern that, students, maybe they're not learning about politics specifically, but they're learning about broader ways to view the world, about how we're supposed to interact, how we're supposed to debate, how we're supposed to discuss, that makes them perhaps more hesitant to take on the kinds of difficult discussions that I think help them grow. And that's the part that I think is sort of most concerning to me. Because, college campuses are weird experimental places, and they've always been weird experimental places. And so what happens there stays there. That's fine. But it doesn't, right? These are the people that are going to be running businesses in 10 years. They're the people that are entering the workplace and demanding things now. And it's not just like, oh, colleges happen and then students forget all this, right? These are the kinds of attitudes and habits that they take with them. And if it's not the attitude of let's get in there and let's discuss and let's debate and let's grow and let's get sharper, but it's something else about kind of safety and don't offend me and all this other sort of stuff, then that's what I think sort of filters out of the college campus and into the actual society we're creating.
Dr. Riley, have you had any pushback against this Mark Bray that's either coming to campus or came to campus?
Mark Bray did come to campus, in fact, a week or so ago, and I'm not quite sure what you mean by pushback, but the backdrop of this story is that I wrote a few things in some online sources, just basically reporting on who Mark Bray is, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds of the details there, but this is a guy who basically he's had a lectureship, at least for some time, at Dartmouth College. I don't know if he's still employed there. And he's a supporter of Antifa, of this political group that advocates the legitimacy of using violence against certain kinds of political speakers because they're seen as beyond the pale. So I just reported and said some things about the fact that I think the existence of folks like Mark Bray in universities is one of the ramifications, I think, of how this political skew that we're talking about, an ideological skew, has worked itself out. That you get it's not a huge number of these folks like Mark Bray, thankfully, but it is a growing number, I think, of folks who are willing to take on more and more and more extreme ideas on the left And in large part, I think this ties into the point that my colleague Chris was just making, that this is, it's not just the political skew that you begin to see taking place on faculties and elsewhere in universities. It's a particular idea of what a university's for that begins to become the dominant view. And so instead of university being about the mutual pursuit of truth and the mutual pursuit of what the case is in the world, and we're all going to be involved in this attempt to find the truth together. We're going to communicate with one another openly and civilly and share our information and be willing to change our minds. Instead of that view, another view begins to become more prevalent in universities, and it's the view that, in an extreme form, folks like Mark Bray exhibit. This is this view that says that universities are about trying to protect folks who are categorized as victims from folks who are categorized as oppressors, and so it's all then about power struggles and so trying to keep folks who are too dangerous to be allowed to speak from speaking. And so it really is a kind of war over what the university is that's at the center of the series that we're putting on.
Well, Dr. Riley, your field is sociology, and Dr. Ellis, yours is your professor of political science. I walk into your classroom with a MAGA hat on. What happens?
I've actually never had that happen. I might ask you why.
It'd be a fun experiment to try.
Well, just so, because I believe we need to make America great again, let's say, for the sake of argument.
So let me give you—I honestly don't know, but you'd probably be allowed to wear it. An example from our speaker that's coming next time, on Wednesday, tomorrow. He's a professor at Sarah Lawrence College, which is mostly women's college that's extremely liberal. And he took his students to a Trump rally on Staten Island or someplace like that. He took his students out there, and he said in advance, right, I don't like Trump. I find the guy personally reprehensible. But let's go and look at this as a political moment. Let's look at how he controls a crowd. Let's look at how he uses rhetorical devices to draw people in. Let's look at how he generates enthusiasm. Let's look at how this works, right, because it was part of the subject of the class. And he said there it worked pretty well, which is the place that you wouldn't think it would work. So again, I'm sort of back with, most students can deal with this, right? I can't imagine that there would be some, I mean, maybe there would, right? But there wouldn't be a ton of people that would be mad at your hat, right? But we're worried about, maybe there would, but they'd keep it themselves or they'd ask you or whatever. But we're worried about sort of losing that kind of stuff, right? That we can have lots of learning experiences, but if they turn into let's shut down and let's hate each other and that's, So I'm a political scientist. I dabble in psychology, and the echo chamber effect is very real, right? That if people only talk to people who agree with them, weird stuff starts to happen, right? That their views become less based in reason, less based in facts, and more just sheer emotion. They become more just sort of visceral hatred as opposed to policy dislike. And so if we start trending in that direction where, we can't live in the same room with someone that's wearing a different hat, right? Now, maybe you're wearing an Elizabeth Warren hat or whatever, and so that's going to get someone mad too. That's fine, right? But let's figure out how to use that as opposed to just saying, oh, that person must be horrifying because they're wearing that hat, and that's the end of the discussion.
All right. We're going to have to take a quick break. Dr. Riley, can you stand by for a short time longer?
Sure, I'd be happy to.
Okay, you hold on, everybody else hold on, and we'll all be right back.
Step right up and fool the guesser. He'll guess your age. He'll guess your weight.
Hey, guesser. Bet you can't guess how much I saved at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Even the fair fool the guesser will be shocked at the money you'll save on your next new Kia. Funnel cakes, hot sausage, and gyros can't compare with the savings on new Kias from Sunbury Motors Kia. Hurry in this week and save $4,500 off on a 2019 Kia Sorento LX. There's $4,000 off on a 2019 Forte S. And save $4,000 on a 2020 Kia Sportage LX. Kia offers an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Put down that corn dog and get to SMC.
Like the fair, these deals only come around once a year at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing on select Kias. Offer expires 9/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to kia.com.
All right, welcome back. We are on the WKOK Live telephone talk show. We have Dr. Alexander Riley. Tristan Riley is the name everybody else knows him as, so I guess I'll use that. Tristan's on the news line. Tristan, Sam Abrams, this professor of politics from Hamilton College, is coming tomorrow. Invite folks to this discussion tomorrow.
Well, we're very excited about the fact that we've got Professor Abrams coming out and all the other folks that we're bringing for this campus politics series, because we think it's a really great opportunity to talk about a series of issues that are, in our view at least, that are of fundamental importance for the organization and the nature of higher education. So we've been discussing this morning, I think, this whole set of debates about really what a university's for, what a college education is supposed to do, and how students are supposed to be treated, and how they're supposed to be engaged and presented with ideas and with debates and so forth in universities. That's the core set of ideas that we want to investigate. So again, we've got a bunch of speakers that start with Professor Sam Abrams, who's got a compelling and powerful story to tell of some stuff that happened to him while he was just basically doing his job and trying to investigate some questions that are of interest for academics and for intelligent people generally about the makeup of universities. And he had this incredible adventure as a result of it, which demonstrated that there are some real problems, there are some real issues that we need to be concerned about regarding expression and the range of opinions that are to be permitted on universities. So Professor Abrams is going to be with us tomorrow night. I believe it's 7 p.m. is time for the talk over in the Arches Lounge at the Langone Center on Bucknell's campus. And we just encourage everybody who's interested in these issues to come out and join us for the discussion and for the debate.
We'll go to bucknell.edu. The Bucknell Program for American Leadership and Citizenship presents Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts. Campus Politics and the Liberal Arts 2019-2020 Speaker Series. Now, this is one of two major symposia, really, that are going on. Tell me about the other one that relates more to humanities very briefly, if you can, Dr. Riley.
Sure. Sure, yeah, and starting largely in the spring, but we've got the first talk in the second series that's happening in October. The title of the series is Questioning American Identities. So this is a series that's just basically trying to start a conversation and start to suggest some ways to answer another big question. You know, the campus politics series is the big question of what's a university for. The American Identity series, the big question is, what does it mean to be an American in 2019? And what are some of the relevant issues of debate about what constitutes an American identity in our present moment? So we've got a number of speakers. The October speaker who's coming in is the Princeton historian Alan Guelzo, who's written a good deal about the Civil War and especially about the place of President Abraham Lincoln in American political thinking, political mythology, and concepts of American identity. So he's going to kick off that series for us. We've got a bunch of other people coming in the spring, including the biggest highest profile speaker is Victor Davis Hanson, who's coming in March to talk to us a little bit about the legacy of the Korean War, which we're coming up on an anniversary of the Korean War next year, and so he's going to talk about that.
We'll promote each of those as they get closer. Dr. Riley, thank you so much. I'm going to talk to you on the news line on our Sunrise show as each of these speakers comes so that we can do a mini-examine of their important topics before they get here. So thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you for all your help, and we invite you to come and visit us in the studio one day and join this fray. I think you'd love the discussion, and we'd love to have you.
And we'll be kind.
Yeah, I'd love to do it, yeah.
And we'll have some violent protesters, too. So thank you so much.
Oh, well, that I wouldn't love so much.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't. We hardly ever get that up here, except when we run out of coffee. So, all right, that is Dr. Alexander Riley from Bucknell University, sociology professor. He will be back on the news line as our Sunrise shows continue, as these speaker series continue. Let's talk about outcome-based education. You got a fabulous series of speakers, not only with the political series, but with the humanities series. What's a great outcome of this series, Dr. Ellis?
So what are you hoping happens at the end of it?
Sure. So really, we just want people to think and talk about these issues more, right? Because if we're on college campuses, we see this all the time, and it's time for us, frankly, to be a little bit more self-reflective about what we're doing and what we're trying to produce, right? And so the speakers are from all over the political spectrum. that have come to some sort of critical perspectives on, hey, look, there's something not going right on college campuses. So let's engage with these issues. And maybe you think they're completely wrong. I mean, we have a speaker, a self-proclaimed feminist coming in March, who's been very critical about how universities prosecute Title IX cases and thinks that they don't really give accused students due process rights or whatever. And maybe she's right and maybe she's wrong, but we should talk about that because colleges are losing lawsuits left and right. So we want students to think more, for one. And even if you don't care about college campuses, again, this stuff seeps out into the world, right? That the people that are graduating in 2020 will be you know, running banks in 2030. So let's talk about this stuff. Let's figure out what they're learning. And as Tristan said, let's figure out what the university is actually for and actually have some reflective discussion of this instead of just sort of yelling at each other about it, or worse, not talking about it at all.
Well, with the big news of today being the fact that Nancy Pelosi now may be signing on to starting impeachment proceedings against the president, you would be a great guest to have come back if this unfolds that way over the next few weeks.
I guess that sounds like fun. So, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was pretty unconvincing. So,
absolutely.
Why not jump into the fire with both feet?
Well, thank you. And you've been here before, and we would just invite you back anytime. Just come back and visit us once a month, whether you need to or not. And we'll
do.
We appreciate your scholarship, yeah, and your outspoken nature about the important things that we're talking about. Dr. Chris Ellis is here as well, professor of political science at Bucknell University. You can get the whole schedule of the two sets of speeches that are coming up and remarks by a separate set of different speakers. We'll post the whole schedule. We'll post both schedules at WKOK.com, but go to Bucknell.edu and just click around there for a couple of days, and you'll probably find it there as well. We thank Mike Ferlazzo. He always helps to coordinate some of our discussions on the radio these days, and so we appreciate that. Dr. Chris Ellis, thank you so much for coming in, sir.
Thank you.
Joe McGranahan and I will resume our normal arguments with some emails added to the fray. Rob Setters, our neutral producer on the other side of the glass, and Mr. Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom. I'm Mark Lawrence. You're listening to On the Mark. We have an open phones hour ahead, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. We'll have our toll-free line open. First, CBS News, then some local headlines. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I am Mr. Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is with us. Rob Setter is here. Matt Catrillo's in the newsroom, so everything is at the right location. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. We invite you to please check them out at sunburymotors.com. What can you do if you go there? We can check out online specials. So where are you going to buy a brand new vehicle? Or are you going to buy a pre-owned vehicle on the lot there? You can find specials online at WKO or at sunburymotors.com. Well, you can link there from WKOK.com if you wish, from the On the Mark link that
I thought maybe we're selling
there.
Cars now.
Well, we might get into that if this Sunbury Motors thing doesn't work out.
Well, we hope we are selling cars, but we hope we're selling them for Sunbury Motors.
Well, I'll tell you what you can do there. Here's how we sell them. We talk about the ones that you can build. I've already built a pretty schmancy Navigator pickup truck for Mr. Joe here that has the sunroof and the power rear window. And
I don't want the SUV
enclosed.
The SUV, right.
Well, you don't want the truck. Hold on a minute.
No.
Jeez, this is ridiculous. I got to keep rewriting this ad. All right, so we're going to build a Lincoln Navigator that's completely enclosed, fully SUV, and he's going to get a hybrid whether he wants it or not. He's going to end up with good gasoline mileage. He's going to be helping the planet even though he thinks climate change is a hoax. And so the Joe's going to get on board. I'm going to build a Ford Ranger pick-em-up truck for my lovely bride. We're going to be getting her an Expedition that is fully tricked out, if you will. Bottom line is, you can build a vehicle that fits your precise specifications. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe you absolutely need to get 50 miles to the gallon. Then you're going to be getting one of the smaller cars, hybrid version, even electric version. Bottom line, there is a vehicle for you. It just does not matter what the price range that you're living in or what the needs are for your transportation. They'll take good care of you. SunburyMotors.com, the first place to go when you are are ready to take care of that particular unmet need. Our toll-free line is now wide open. Call us immediately, 1-800-795-9565. You can talk about the college series of speeches that we just talked about that point out that free speech ain't so free on college campuses these days, so we can remark on that. 1-800-795-9565. We talked a lot about climate lately. We know Nancy Pelosi is now going to consider supporting impeachment. We know the president is holding up some funding to the Ukraine in order to get more investigation of...
No, he released that funding.
Back in the day, though, he was holding it up...
allegedly.
...pending conversation. So that topic is bubbled back up, and we have, what, 6 emails pending, so we are enjoying tremendous abundance there. You can join that list at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Some very brief news headlines. Sunbury Police Force continues to grow up to 8 officers with the addition of Terry Ketchum, who was hired in Cole Township originally and now going to work for Sunbury.
Brings a wealth of knowledge and history with policing. He's a DUI coordinator for Northumberland County, so that brings a nice attribute to the department, which we're really happy for, but he's more than welcome to come here, and we're glad to have him.
That is Officer in Charge Brad Hare of Sunbury PD. 2 alarm fires underway in Shamokin broke out around 8 o'clock this morning on South Gold Street. Dozens of volunteer firefighters either involved in the direct firefight or in a standby capacity. We'll keep you posted about that. We have no reports from the scene yet, so we'll get you up to date on that. There have been some decreases in opioid use across the valley. That's the good news reported by Geisinger President Dr. Jaewon Ryu yesterday during a community luncheon in Danville. He says all of the work that they've done also starts with reaching out to a dozen Valley schools to try to get better drug education out to students.
That's another indicator of the more we can take it out into the communities, we think there's a better shot at getting ahead of the problem. But the reality is, I think this is an epidemic that requires many, many smaller initiatives.
I'm talking about the opioid abuse crisis. More of his remarks at WDKOK.com. The debate over guns is revving up in Harrisburg. A House committee could advance legislation soon to move more swiftly to take away guns from people who are involuntarily committed for mental health treatment, sort of a mini red flag law. Another bill would make it easier to get courts to strike down municipal firearm ordinances so that only state laws would apply. Joe doesn't like that idea.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just reading something that made me laugh.
Oh, okay. One of our emails.
Right.
You're previewing the email, so you found something funny. Well, good. The priorities of Governor Tom Wolf and his fellow Democrats also include expanding background checks. So some changes in gun laws are possible in Harrisburg. And finally, in Orlando, Florida, prosecutors say they're going to drop the criminal charges against 2 6-year-old students who were arrested at a Florida elementary school last week. The state attorney, Aramis Ayala, head prosecutor for Orange and Osceola counties, said Monday she was dismissing the misdemeanor battery charges that were filed against the 6-year-old boy and the 6-year-old girl. Ayala says the criminal justice system shouldn't replace traditional school discipline. Officials weren't saying what led to the arrest, but police say a school resource officer put the girl in handcuffs and took her to a juvenile detention center. Age 6, misdemeanor battery charges. Orlando police say they've suspended the officer.
I think you created a new word, dismissamine. That's dismissing a misdemeanor.
Oh, did I?
That's
thank
what you.
See, this is a fine. I can't
dismissamine.
Hear me.
I like that.
I can't hear me. I'm on drugs. Cold,
you obviously have a cold.
Cold
yes.
Drugs, so I'm not as lucid as usual. Okay, we got 3 emails pending. Read one, and then we're going to put
okay,
Mr.
Well,
Lance
this one
on the
relates
radio.
To our guests. I failed. This is from our friend EB, who doesn't realize what a big part of the problem he is. I fail to see the problem with colleges drowning out conservative points of view in favor of more liberal ones. So much of conservatism thought these days consists of nothing but hatred, racism, and bigotry. Why should institutions of higher education, which are supposed to enlighten students, include such regressive conservative ideas? They should make students smarter, not more ignorant.
That's a hypocritical letter.
That's the part of the problem.
One sentence says speech is bad. The other one says learning and knowledge is good.
Well, you know, we're right, and so everybody else is wrong, and there's no validity to anyone else's point of view but mine. Gee, that's the American way, EB. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Lance is on the line talking about Dr. Ellis and Dr. Riley.
Yeah. His ideas are really great because I see
whose
that
ideas?
Now about every 2 weeks.
Whose ideas, Lance? You ought to tell us who you're talking about.
Oh, there are previous folks that were on the air there, the professor and everybody.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
It was two professors, actually.
Yeah, well, their whole idea is that we can really come together. Every 2 weeks I've been going to a little breakfast that, believe me, we've got them on both ends of everything, and still we're able to actually sit there and talk quite rationally and see on both sides different opinions, ideas, and all that. It's been quite productive for me, at least.
One, you're willing to hear something from all sides, but some young people don't want to hear what the other side has to say.
And certainly EB doesn't want to hear it.
Right. Yeah. There's no need for conservative thought on campus.
No, let's just kill them all. Kill them all. We're full of love and compassion and inclusion, but kill the conservatives.
De-MAGA hat them.
Yeah. And I can tell you that colleges really do indoctrinate, because in our own family, we had a family member that left for that fancy finish in school, as you say, and was a non-committal kid, and came back across between Gloria Steinem and Madeline O'Hara. I mean, it was really terrible.
Well, nobody gets indoctrinated at colleges without their permission. If your son or daughter, whatever it was, chose to follow a political viewpoint, that's because they chose to.
I think they come. They come to.
Amazing.
They come to find a professor who they like, who they admire, whose values they believe are good values, and so they adapt themselves to what they're taught. And that's why I asked the question of them of whether or not the kids are coming to college more liberal or becoming more liberal while they're in college. Not certain that we got a definitive answer on that one.
I think they become more liberal as they're there, because they'll go and they'll rub shoulders with the upperclassmen who have already in degrees of indoctrination. And as that goes, it isn't just the professor they're listening to. They are listening to the people they are around. And that's pretty nasty. But
free speech is awful. We need to squelch it and make sure that no opposing viewpoints are ever heard.
Especially not the viewpoints I don't like.
Or supportive viewpoints. We must squelch those, too. I think young people have a mind of their own, and they may definitely get in with the wrong crowd at a campus and become liberal, but I think students choose to do that.
Necessarily the wrong crowd.
I don't think they get indoctrinated. I mean, if they went to the Harvard Business School, they'd come out sort of a businessy, entrepreneur, financially savvy kind of person.
Here's the difference. My son grew up around two conservatives. I'm a conservative. My wife is a conservative. My son is about as liberal as most liberals are. And he arrived at those conclusions himself. I mean, he studied the same issues I did. He looked at the same material. He just arrived at a different conclusion. That doesn't make him wrong and me right, or me right and him wrong. It just means we've arrived at different points of view, which we respect in each other.
Well, those kids are there at a very, very soft time, because it's been proven that the brain doesn't really develop to where you can make a rational thought till you're 25. And that's really the fact.
I dispute that. Well, we allow people to vote at age 21. You saying we should withhold that right for four more years until they can think?
I think so. Probably till about 30, really.
Come on.
Because I was a whacked-out liberal till I was 25.
So what kind of whacked out person are you now? Are you a whacked out conservative?
No, I'm pretty much there. I am a pro-life libertarian is where I came down on it.
Okay.
So
does pro-life and libertarian, do they fit together?
Maybe we get along better if we stop just using labels. What are some of your viewpoints? Well, I happen to be pro-life, very adamantly so.
I want government out of my life.
Right, so I'm a little bit libertarian.
But how do you get one without the other?
But I'm a registered Republican, since that's where most of the common sense candidates are housed that I currently enjoy voting for. So I'm speaking for Lance, not for myself, I might add.
I think we agree Lance is desperately in need of help.
All right, Lance, we'll give you the last word. Go right
ahead. I'm only kidding, Lance. Go ahead.
could I say something there about the global climate change quick here?
Yep.
I have the graphs there of Dr. Mann and his hockey stick, and also Professor Ball, who is a very erudite professor from Canada, and they had lawsuits going back and forth. So Professor Ball basically called Professor Mann, you know, a charlatan and all kinds of nasty stuff, and he sued him. So when they got together on the whole deal, Professor Mann could not come up with the actual raw data that he based his hockey stick on.
So you say the climate is not getting warmer, correct?
Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying is, see, he shows, Professor Ball does, the medieval warm period, which was really, really warm, warmer than what we've got it now. And it's going to get a whole lot warmer than what it is now. It's a natural cycle of the Earth.
I got you.
Well, Professor Mann left that completely out of his graph. And he also left out the...
Okay, so this is just a normal cycle.
It was a little ice age.
But we'll cool back down later. Is that what you're concluding very briefly here? We're going to cool down eventually, and then we'll go back to normal.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Thank you, Lance.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Appreciate the call. Read the one that says Greta Thunberg, and then we'll take our break.
Okay,
please.
Well, this other one was actually about what was going on.
Either
but
way,
we'll,
either
we'll
way.
Start. Says, after listening to yesterday's show, it's crystal clear that the far, far right-wing callers have taken the same language course as their beloved leader, Donald the Grifter Trump. The language course is Babel. The problem is only Babel was learned and no other language. Joe had the fog machine on high yesterday and will no doubt fire it up again today. Joe will continue on his apology tour for the grifter-in-chief. Fog and Babel are not heard to not hard to navigate. You just have to slow down and use your low beams and stay between the lines. Some of these calls and commentaries are beyond hilarious. Good entertainment! 17 question marks. Judge Andrew Napolitano and Shepard Smith, both Fox News commentators, got it right. Joe Biden did nothing wrong. The blame lies with the grifter of a president. After his latest stunt by this con man, it's impeachment time. Long overdue. And actually, I thought I tried to spell out yesterday this issue from both sides. Did I not? He's saying I turned on the fog machine. I just pointed out that what some people say on one side and what some people say on the other.
I don't know. I went back and listened to yesterday's show. The whole show was pretty objective. I don't think
did
you
I have,
stood
I
up
have
for
the
him.
Fog machine
I think
on.
We just sort of did a finding of fact yesterday. I don't really don't think we... I didn't disclose that the president is wrong in all of this and that Joe Biden is right in all of this, while that happens to be true. We really just did a finding of fact and invited people to help us. But in any event, okay, so that's...
Well, what we know is what we don't know. Until the transcript is released or until something more comes out, I think the rush to impeach from the Democrats, have at it, if that's what you think. But you're liable to find out down the road that the call was as innocent as the president said it was, and then you're going to have egg in your face.
As innocent as new fallen snow, and that describes President Trump.
I believe the president is as pure as the driven slush.
Which has been salted on and driven on. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But we have, about 3 or 4 more emails pending. Yes. We would just love to talk to you. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Call us now. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We do not have any callers. Lighten up the lines, so please remedy that by going to the nearest telephonically device, telephonic device, and punch.
That would be a telephone?
Yes, punch in the numbers. 1-800.
Or cell phone?
Cell phone's not a telephone. 1-800-795-9565.
No, it's a cell phone.
Is it? 1-800-795-9565.
Dog is not a cat, Mark. I hate to tell you that.
But they're both pets.
But they're both pets, right.
All right. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, as one individual has done.
Right. E.B. again, who is continuing his anti-conservative diatribe. This one, I don't know that I haven't seen as much about this, so maybe he's got a point here, maybe he doesn't. Yesterday, Greta Thunberg, a 16-year-old climate change activist with Asperger's, made a speech at the United Nations Climate Action Summit. Today, I get online, and what do I see? Conservatives ripping this autistic teenager apart, not making valid points, because because conservatives don't do this. No, they're lobbying insults and calling names. Michael Knowles of conservative fake news site The Daily Wire called her a mentally ill Swedish child, while white supremacist Laura Ingraham compared her to the children of the corn. For those of you not familiar with that, it's a horror movie and a horror book. Local conservative hate mongers flooded WKOK's Facebook page with disparaging comments about her. Did they, Mark?
Oh, yes. It's terrible. Okay. Horrible things about
really?
Her. Yeah, they should string her up and eviscerate her and splay her because she's saying anti-climate, or she's saying, you know, pro-climate
remarks. Well, some of what I saw, she was coming down pretty hard on people who disagreed with her. I wonder if that's what sparked the backlash.
Well, but she's very issue-oriented. She never says anything personal about anyone. She did berate the UN for inaction, but only sort of as a collective body.
Well, that's a shame.
But
I mean,
then,
that young lady's entitled to her.
Right, but that irritates climate deniers.
And then another, continuing, he said, aside from being willfully stupid by refusing to believe something that is scientifically proven, conservatives again prove themselves to be the worst people on the planet. How long do you have to be, how low do you have to be to attack a teenage girl with autism simply because she has her own opinion on a topic? If tradition follows, she and her family will probably receive death threats, just as Parkland students did. Conservatives really are a hateful bunch, and they're the ones who often brag about being great Christians and what great Christians they are. Maybe they should try reading that Bible of theirs sometime. You might learn how to treat people with respect and appreciate the beautiful world God made. Well, you know, if she has an opinion that you disagree with, you have every right to question that opinion or to, you know, argue against it. How does her autism enter into it? If they're calling her a mentally ill Swedish child, if this guy did that, that's obviously wrong. But, you know, what's...
Well, her demeanor is slightly, I would say, slightly impacted by that. It's hard to describe.
And Asperger's syndrome isn't full-blown autism. That's like saying that, you know, basal or small skin cancer is the same as stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Okay.
And autism, I know some people with Asperger's syndrome, and they're normal, high-functioning individuals. They just have a few social issues. And what I saw, this girl seemed rather strident, but that's her right.
I'm trying to find some of our Facebook comments about this. I'm sorry, it's going to take me longer. Even though there's hundreds of them, I can't find the right string.
Okay, well,
of them.
I'll read the other email while you're looking.
Thank you.
It's very obvious Trump is doing the same thing to Biden that he did to Hillary to sabotage his campaign. With Hillary, it was the incessant rhetoric about her emails that amounted to nothing, but clearly cost her the election. With Biden, he's trying to smear his reputation and his son's with no facts or basis. Trump will stop at nothing to win this election. He hates to lose. It's so obvious that this is his intent. Hopefully this will all blow up in his orange face. I love the love and inclusion and, you know, willingness to accept other people. It's just amazing.
Aren't we just enjoying that
today? We are,
today?
You know.
All right, I can't seem to find any of these climate
comments.
Well,
did you say, were they hateful? I mean, were they really nasty?
Oh, yes, yeah, very much. In fact, somebody got banned by Facebook because of something they said about her. One of the women that commented on the face is conservative and, you know, was saying what a terrible young woman this, what a terrible human being this young woman was. And then we got they sent us a little pop-up message on our Facebook page that this individual, because of something she said,
well,
I didn't even see it.
Probably,
well, I guess that's it. Well, plus probably some profanity mixed in and maybe even a threat.
Was there profanity and threats in the emails you saw?
I didn't see any threats. I wouldn't say I saw an abundance of profanity, but just, you know, really spiteful remarks about a child. I mean, the kid's 9, and yes, she's very outspoken and certainly knows what she's talking about, but, you know, it's just...
I heard her. So, I mean, she seemed rather strident, you couldn't disagree with what she was saying from her point of view.
Exactly.
From her point of view.
It's just a...
She didn't say anything that I thought was particularly offensive or I haven't heard before from people who are on that side of the issue. She said it rather stridently about if you don't do something about this, we will never forgive you. That was about the strongest statement I heard her make.
Well, and she takes people to task for things that she says are missed opportunities, let's call them, where people have not taken action when they should have, which basically includes every adult in the globe right now, or most adults right now in the globe.
And one of our texters says, EB is such a hoot listening to his ramblings about Trump, showing his serious case of TDS. As far as Ms. Greta goes, she's a great actress. Her actor parents have trained her well, and her handler, George Soros, has trained her well. Her performance was Oscar worthy.
See, nothing about climate or the fake science that our texter uses, but something personal about the child. All right, another email, please, start at the top.
All right, Dave says, I know this will never happen, but what if any new idea of a law in Senate or Congress was released to the public without the public knowing who drafted the new law or the idea, be it a Democrat, Republican, or Independent? People have to think about the actual topic instead of where it came from. There's a good point.
Oh, I see. If they just sort of emerged from the
ether.
We
don't know who it is.
Right. If they just emerged from the ether and didn't sort of have any labels on this, like this isn't Democratic legislation, it's not from the president, it's not Republican. What do you think, body, meaning the whole
right.
Congress or the whole House or the whole Senate? What if we did this? Of course, I think it would be obvious after a while.
And one of our other listeners says, her age, this is talking about the young lady again, her age and disabilities do not give her a pass when she mounts an attack on people that disagree with her. Her parents thrust her into the world spotlight. There is the real abuse. First of all, who made it an issue? Who disclosed the fact she has Asperger's syndrome? That's not something that I would think anybody outside her family could find out.
It's not in the AP versions, but I wouldn't say that I read too many other versions. I did not see the TV news coverage of it.
Nothing about Asperger's syndrome that I'm aware of would preclude her from having strong opinions or being able to debate someone who disagreed with her. Or to be able to stand, you know, if you want to argue that a nine-year-old, is that what they said she was, years old?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
That a nine-year-old child shouldn't be disagreed with. Need only look at the young lady who ran the Orange Street News in Sealands Grove. A lot of people disagreed with what she was doing.
Well, I missed that
paper. Does that make you a bad person if you disagree with a nine-year-old? Must we take every nine-year-old's opinions and say,
dismiss them?
These are relevant to today's world, and God bless her for having them.
Well, we'll take more opinions about this from people of all ages. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone number. We'll take another quickie break, but we'd invite you to join us, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about the very adult remarks against Greta Thunberg, the nine-year-old from Sweden, who is probably the world's most vocal climate advocate right now. Al Gore is 20 years out, and now this nine-year-old emerges as somebody who is at the forefront of the climate strike as well. Of course, the president, for all of you good conservatives out there, you should rest assured he continues to say that climate change is a hoax. And
well, you know, he's being pilloried for yesterday speaking about freedom of religion instead of taking on environmental issues.
Oh, okay. Well, we can talk about that. We have open phones, though. We have lots of places we can go. You can help us decide that direction by emailing us at onthemark@wkok.com, texting us at 70236, or calling us 1-800-795-9565. All right, we are talking about an important topic today. It's the climate, but we're on Greta Thunberg as the topic of discussion. Let's see, AP does a story about here. One of our listeners says we're perfectly mistaken if we call her a nine-year-old. She's 16. So.
And in fact, in EB's email, he does point out the fact that she's 16. I don't know where the
nine-year-old... Oh, in the email. Okay,
I don't know where the nine-year-old came
up. Yeah, I'm sorry. I just picked that up myself somewhere. Yeah, 16-year. That's in the AP version. Yeah, apologies
so,
there.
Can we argue with a 16-year-old, or must we accept every word out of their mouths is true? And
well, you know, these are... Let's see. Let's
and I don't, obviously, nothing about her condition keeps her from being a very effective and strong arguer for her position. So she should be strong enough to take the buffeting that comes with having a very strongly held opinion.
So the opinions on our Facebook page, one person says, good for her courage. Another person says, regardless of my opinion about climate change, I'm astounded at the amount of grown adults willing to attack a child that may have a differing opinion than their own. Another person sarcastically says, such a sweet girl, LOL. Another person says, climate icon, lover, you go, girl. Another person says, no, darling, your liberal teachers have stolen them. I'm sorry you are misguided. Another person put an icon of a middle finger there, which
is
kind of funny.
Okay.
But that's their prerogative. Let's see. Another person says, she should have been in school, another infant who will try to rewrite our history books without proper grammar and punctuation. Did anyone see her little pompous pout when Donald passed her? Let's see. Another person says, every time WKOK puts out an article which is identical to news articles all over the country, let me just say real quick, that's because CBS wrote it. They're a national news organization. The only place you see the majority of people clicking the smiley emoji are those living in this area. They are undereducated, or do they just like to be controversial? I'm not sure if they mean, are we undereducated or are we controversial?
I don't know. Well, we're not undereducated.
Let's see. One more. Let me see if I can find one.
While you're looking, one of our texters says, nothing personal, Mark. I was praising her acting. She has been groomed by her parents and Soros for that performance. The real problem is the left is pushing a lie and blaming all the world's climate issues on the USA while ignoring the largest polluters, China, India, and the developing countries. Why is that?
I don't know. Another person put down that she's a crackpot. And then, as I mentioned, somebody got banned from our page because of something they said. So,
well, you should mention you don't do the banning. That's
oh yeah,
by
yeah.
Facebook.
We don't ban. We encourage folks. We like them to say more, is what I would say. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Dan, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, you know, here's the thing: a lot of your listeners probably don't get, and you know, most of the time I call in, Mark, you don't agree with me, and Joe, you most of the time don't agree with me, but that doesn't stop me from having a perspective on how things work in politics and science. So, you know, I don't cater to your line, you don't cater to my line. And I much appreciate that. I don't want you just to go along with things I say because there's certain subjects I'm well informed on and other ones I'm not as well informed. But I'm very informed on intelligent design. And I'd say even your conservative callers don't agree with, you know, quite a few of them don't agree with me on intelligent design, and probably almost zero of the more liberal callers agree on intelligent design. But that doesn't mean there's not a right perspective to be held on that viewpoint. And what I suggest people do, if they disagree on someone's viewpoint, investigate. Don't sit there and condemn. I try to investigate every viewpoint, even if I don't agree with it. And I think that's what we need to do. And I think that's what the great professors you had on in the first half hour were trying to get to.
Well, let me stop you really quick, and then I'll let you continue. I think professors may be interested in a wide range of topics. I think most of this pushback on campuses comes from students who don't want to hear a wide range of political views.
Well, there's some professors that don't want to hear them.
Maybe a few, but I think it's gobs of students and maybe one professor or two.
And Joe, what I took from the professor saying on students coming into college today, there's two things. There are more liberal students coming into college, but there's more also more liberal professors screwed them that way into that point of view. So it's a sort of a multiplying effect, and that's part of, I think that's what I took out of what the professor said. So it's sort of multiplying on each other, and that's why maybe today you have 90% of the professors being Republican, or I mean Democratic oriented, and only maybe 8-10% Republican, and even a lot of them aren't conservative Republicans. They might be more the more liberal type Republicans that we have today. So I think that's where
we'll have to bring,
they were going with that viewpoint.
We'll have to bring Professor Rosu in. He's the traditional type of conservative Republican from Susquehanna
University. And that's another thing. You know, some people, like, I'm sure some people think I'm totally right-wing conservative when I'm not. And far, they call us far right. And I disagree with that term. We're not far right. If we'd like to be so far right that we were a libertarian, if that were possible, that's the ideal. But it's not practical in the times we're living to be a full libertarian. At, you know, a Jefferson libertarian, we can't be in that we can't live like
can't
that
live
in
there.
The
okay.
day we're in. It would be ideal. The less law, the less regulation, the better off we'd be. But being where we're at, that viewpoint just isn't practical. We need more regulation. As time goes on, we pass more laws. Because
okay.
we can't regulate ourselves.
All right. Good point. Thank you, Dan.
All right. Great talking with you.
Have a good one.
Yep. You have a good one. And keep. That was a very good program.
Good. Thank you.
Morning. I enjoyed that
well,
a lot.
We've invited them back, so we'll see how that works out. Thanks, Dan. Take
All
care.
All right.
Now, today's big story is that Nancy Pelosi, who originally was trying to protect 17 freshman members of Congress who were elected in districts that Donald Trump won by many of them double digits, she didn't want to start impeachment proceedings against the president because she thought that would harm them if it didn't go anywhere. And it's not likely to go anywhere with the Senate being in Republican hands. But today, those 17 Democratic freshman congressmen published an article saying that they believe now is the time to start impeachment. And so Nancy Pelosi, being pushed by them and by AOC, is rethinking her position, and they may start impeachment proceedings against the president.
In what way is she rethinking this?
Well, because of the fact that these freshmen congressmen she was trying to protect have come out and said, we think impeachment should be started. So there's nothing she can protect them from now. I mean, they'll have to face the consequences of what they've started with this newspaper ad they published. I don't know in how many papers, but basically they published it saying that it was time, based on what's now coming before us with respect to this Ukrainian situation.
And we now know that
President
Donald Trump held up some aid to Ukraine before the conversation with the president of Ukraine and has since released it. Don't know if he got his way in the Ukraine in terms of encouraging still more investigation of Hunter Biden.
Well, if the Ukraine is in fact corrupt, I think he certainly has some. I think all of our presidents have an obligation not to pump money into corrupt governments. I mean, if all the money's going to do is go down a rat hole, then for heaven's sakes, don't put it out there. But if he was there trying to influence them to start an investigation of Hunter Biden, then he was definitely wrong, and that may well be an impeachable offense.
We'll find out. 1-800-795-9565. Please call us now if you'd like to comment on this. We had quite a few calls on this yesterday talking about the fact that, you know, it all starts with Hunter Biden joining the board of a Chinese organization.
Ukrainian
company, a natural gas company there. And
with no expertise in international business at all.
Then
I would like to be so lucky.
Promising the fact that if they tell him one good thing, he'll deliver it to his father. Vice President Biden has said that he never talked to his son about that particular company, but later came back and said, well, they did have a few conversations.
No, Hunter Biden said they had the conversations.
They did have conversations. Oh, good. Thank you.
The father gave that comment to Fox News, that he had never talked to his son about it.
Right. And those are two of the tentacles of
this octopus. But, of course, when Joe Biden says something that isn't true, that's misspeaking. But when Donald Trump says something that isn't true, that's a lie.
Joe Biden doesn't misspeak every sentence the way President Trump lies every sentence.
Well, he's got a pretty good record of being right up there with him.
misstatements. All right. Well, we got callers on the line. Ask for and received. We've talked about climate today. We talked about free speech on campus. We'll take all comers on all topics. 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. Rick, thanks for calling in. What is the topic of selection for you today?
Oh, I'd just like to say if I was that young lady's grandfather, I'd have to tell her to just relax, sweetie. This is all political. You're going to live to a ripe old age. Just go back and have some fun playing, learn how to drive a car. Because she does seem, I've seen her on TV, and she really does seem very, very afraid. She's on the verge. But that's what I think that would be a good thing for her, to just for somebody to go up and say, relax, sweetie. You're going to live a long,
yeah, she's a girl,
life.
So please stand down, sweetie. You're just a girl, so but please let us run things.
Not just a girl. Now don't put words in my mouth. I said she's a very sweet lady, young lady.
Oh, I think you called her sweetie.
You're only
but anyway.
16 years old. This climate stuff is all political. So until we get to political, us adults will take care of the political part of it. You just relax and go sail your sailboat.
And we've done so well running things as adults in this world.
Oh, yeah, I don't know why. If this was a climate strike, Mark, why don't we shut down the power plants for a day and say nobody can drive their cars? We have to, this is a strike. Let's see what it's like. The hospitals aren't allowed to use their diesel generators. Let's do it.
All right.
One day to
I'm
shut
on board.
Everything off.
I'll ride my bicycle to work. Oh, I guess yeah, if there's
right?
no electricity.
Yeah, you can. Let's see how this works out. I'm dead serious.
And if there's
this
no
is a climate strike.
If there's no
all
electricity.
Union workers, all the power plant workers go on strike. Don't generate no electricity. Tell the hospitals to shut the generators down. We're going back. We're in desperate.
So the radio station will be off the air. Rick, we'll be off the air.
Just one day, though.
We'll be off the air.
Can I get the whale oil concession? And lamps?
No, no burning of whale oils. That's the original oil of choice.
So we had to be in complete darkness.
You can't kill whales, so we're not going out to kill whales.
All right, good point.
But I have to admit, this time, I'm going to take my MAGA hat off, and I'm going to hide it, because I think the Democrats finally got Trump on this Biden thing. I think they got him trapped.
You do?
Go impeach him, get him out of here, you know, he's just no good. I know Hunter Biden, he's an expert with gas companies. So he earned $50,000 a month for the gas company over there in the Ukraine. And I'm sure he speaks fluent Russian. Now, he did get thrown out of the military for coke, but that was just a minor discrepancy.
All right,
but
we got
you. Keep this one going. I like this one a lot.
All right, thank you, Rick.
Because I think you finally got him. I'm going to take my MAGA hat off my truck right here and all my Republican pins, and I'm going to hide him because I think he's done for this time.
Stick a fork in him. All right, thank you,
Rick.
I like
the fact that Hunter Biden has gas.
No. Okay.
Oh, he's an expert on gas.
We'll take a break. We'll be right.
We have one call coming in, so we'll get that, too.
We shall return.
Step right up and fool the guesser. He'll guess your age. He'll guess your weight.
Hey, guesser. Bet you can't guess how much I saved at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Even the fair fool the guesser will be shocked at the money you'll save on your next new Kia. I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. Funnel cakes, hot sausage, and gyros can't compare with the savings on new Kias from Sunbury Motors Kia. Hurry in this week and save $4,500 off on a 2019 Kia Sorento LX. There's $4,000 off on a 2019 Forte S. And save $4,000 on a 2020 Kia Sportage LX. Kia offers an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Put down that corn dog and get to SMC.
Like the fair, these deals only come around once a year at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Offers available to qualified buyers through KMF financing on select Kias. Offer expires 9/30/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to Kia.com.
All right. Welcome back. Go ahead, Joe.
One of our emailers says, referring to the young lady in question, she is probably in every class play available, so she is versed well in theatrics. This is a brainwashed kid, or maybe not a brainwashed kid, who is being paid lots of money to put on that crazy show. Yes, all political bull.
Isn't that something? These are adults talking about a 16-year-old. Notice nothing there to say that her information's not true.
So just every 16-year-old is just so
kid.
Filled with virtue that they could never do anything wrong.
Well, no, they could be completely wrong. She could be paid. George Soros could be funding her. But that has nothing to do with her argument, which has about climate, which about which people are completely speechless. They have no comeback because she's so informed. But as you would say, misinformed, and the president reiterated yesterday, much to your no surprise, that climate change is a hoax.
I never said climate change was a hoax.
Well, no, but you support your president, and he thinks it is. Bob, you're on the mark. You get 130 seconds.
Oh, good morning there. I guess it's pretty understandable why you climate change zealots would be so much in favor of this 9-year-old's outlook on it. On the subject, because that's your view. You have a 9-year-old outlook on the subject.
She's actually 16,
found out. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I apologize for that.
Well, that's what I thought, too, but I was going with your premise.
Right. But anyway, okay.
We were wrong.
But you don't believe her. You don't trust her. She's too young. And
I'm just saying your level of understanding of climate change is a 9-year-old's level. That's what I'm saying. I mentioned the other day about the sun, and you blew up the sun like it was nothing. I wonder what if you took a 5-gallon bucket of water and dumped it into the Chillisquaw Creek. What level is the Chesapeake Bay to?
One bucket, 2 gallons in Chillisquaukee Creek. Well, Chillisquaukee Creek is bone dry right now, so it would probably raise the bay about a billionth of an inch.
Yeah, well, that's exactly the way influences on the climate change.
Okay, I got you. All right, thank you so much for calling in. Noted. Appreciate your call. We're
all
listening.
All the way from Williamsport. Thanks, Bill.
Yep. Al, you're on the mark. You get the last 90 seconds of the show.
Well, you walked right into that one, Joe, because climate change is inevitable. And what they're doing to the young people is just downright frightful. They're fearing, they're putting the fear of this climate change is going to end the world in 13 years, 10 years. That is just not nice to do to young people. I mean, it's really got to mess up their heads to find out, we're going to destroy ourselves. And even if we do go 100% in and go down to zero carbon emissions, if the rest of the world doesn't do it, we're just banging our head against the wall, because it's not going to say it is, the percentages are there and everything. And if we do it, we're not a big enough part to stop this catastrophe that happened in 13 years, which they're pounding into our children's head.
I think we ought to match whatever China and India do.
Right, I agree. If
exactly.
China and India
and don't
do
a thing. So even if we go 100%, it doesn't matter.
Right, so this is a classic two wrongs definitely make a right. So if you know you're hurting the planet, but another country doesn't help, then you should definitely do more damage to the planet, because, hey...
No, we just don't change the way we're living until they change the way they're living. If we all agree to change, fine.
I agree. Two wrongs make a right. All right. Thank you so much, Joe. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Call back, everybody, tomorrow. This is WDKOK Sunbury. Time for the Dan Patrick Show.